Glory to God. Well, this morning, I'm going to go back to this subject that I had been teaching on before we moved here last Sunday. I felt led the Lord here to give a message last Sunday dealing with the love of God and really dealing with our Father's love and knowing our Father's love, which is a powerful thing. I'm still convinced that that's one of the major reasons people have faith problems. Is they, you know, because I've heard, in fact, when I first got saved, I was amazing how many times I heard people say, well, I know Jesus, but I don't really know the Father. And I used to think, well, if you don't know the Father, you're going to have trouble walking in faith. Because you need to know the love of God. If you don't know the love of the Father, you're going to always have trouble. People say, well, you know, and one thing Jesus says, Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. So a lot of Christians don't know things about the Bible, and you need to learn them and know them. And this morning we're going to go back over, and I have been using the title "Be Led by the Spirit" because really it's from a standpoint of command. We as Christians definitely should be led by the Spirit of God. And we had some scriptures that we did on the foundation of these things. And from Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And so the sons of God are led by the Spirit. That doesn't mean that a person who doesn't know how to be led by the Spirit, who's born again, is not a child of God. It's just the fact, if you're going to live in the sonship, if you're going to live under the place where you're walking in your inheritance, where you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus, you're going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit. If people don't learn to be led by the Spirit, there's only one other alternative, and that is to walk in the flesh. There is no other thing. Christians who do not know how to follow the Spirit will end up living in the flesh. That's how a lot of religions start, even Christian. People say, well, why are these people so religious and believe these certain things? It's because they're not led by the Spirit of God, so they follow the flesh. And the flesh will do you all kind of things. They're religious things that seem good. They seem good, you know, religiously, but they are not things that God's doing or God's walking in or wants you to walk in. And so you must be led by the Spirit. It tells us that the Spirit is the one who bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. It's the Holy Spirit. You know that you're a child of God by being led by the Spirit, having the witness of the Spirit in you. In other words, you need to be in contact with the real you, your human spirit. You must be. If you are not, you're going to walk and live, you know, it's going to be, you know, one of those things. You'll have your good days and your bad days. You're going to have this up and down stuff. Because when trouble comes and you don't feel good or you don't feel right, well, then you're going to follow that feeling rather than walking by the inward witness inside of you. And it's important to learn how to walk by that inward witness. We saw that in Proverbs, we had read where Proverbs 20:27 said, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depths of his heart." The spirit of man, in other words, God enlightens you and I through our spirit. It's through our inner man. There's some scriptures I'm going to use this morning and I want to look at, especially from the standpoint, we're going to be talking about us being a spirit being. We talked about it before, but I just felt led to go back over to this. Is because without continually hearing about these things, you're never going to grow into the light of it. It'll never happen. We grow into the light of the Word by continually hearing things. If I look at all the times that I had read the book for Brother Hagin, How to Be Led by the Spirit, and all the times that I've listened to the tapes of his, wore them out before I got them or they were completely shot, I reduped them over on another one and I listened to them and listened to them. I have hundreds and hundreds of hours of listening to being teaching on being led by the Spirit. I have hundreds of hours of studying and looking into the Scripture because I wanted to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. I wanted to be able to come in contact with my inner man rather than being dominated by the outer man. And so I had to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. And I found out because of God leading me in the areas of healing is one of the things, is walk in the areas of health. You have to learn to be led by the Spirit. Today we have all this stuff and most of all the health stuff and things that Christianity got is all about foods and all this kind of stuff. It's all they got. They get over on the natural side. You know, you're living in a world and your world's tainted, and don't think that your food's your savior. You're finished. It's not going to be your savior. There's nothing the matter. You know, we want to try to eat something that's right. I'll tell you what, I'll eat some pie and some ice cream every once in a while too. I'm not going to be a legalist about this thing because it'll hurt your faith. It'll hurt your faith. If you're a I can't touch, I can't taste person, you're going to have trouble with your health. You're going to have trouble with your health because your flesh is going to dominate you. It's going to rule you. You're going to try to keep the flesh under control by natural things. I don't know, but it's never worked for me. It never worked for me to keep my flesh under the control by legalist ideas. It's never worked. And I watch people who try it. They get bound into things, you know. I over in the areas of dealing with diet, I settled me years ago when I talked to the Lord about that area one time. I said, Lord, I am tired of all this Christian diet stuff. I'm tired of all these diet things. I said, I'm fed up with all these people. God gave them a diet. There's 4 million Christians in America that God gave them a special diet. And, you know, I said, God, you know, all these books and all this stuff. I said, you go to Christian bookstores, they have more books on Christian diets than they got on anything spiritual. And so they got all their stuff. That's why I don't go to them. They got all their junk. The latest guy who wrote the latest thing. You know, it's like, oh, you know, just what I need. I need what the world got. But anyhow, they put this stuff. And I said, God, I said, well, what about all this diet stuff? And he spoke to me clearly. He said, heaven don't have any diets. He said, we have moderation in all things. I settled it for me. He said, heaven doesn't have a diet. This is one thing I know. They didn't get their diet from heaven. He said, heaven don't have any diets. We have moderation in all things. And I thought, you know, that's exactly right. If I would just not let my flesh dominate me and I would live by the moderation on the inside of me, I'd be good. I wouldn't have done a lot of crazy things that I did. I did them because I didn't follow just moderation in all things. In other words, you know, Jesus didn't set you free to another diet or to another religion or to another, you know, thing of bondage. He didn't free you for that. He freed you for the purpose that you could live a life that you could enjoy. Religion, well, you can never live under religion and live a life of peace. It'll never happen. Because religion will demand of you all kinds of things all the time. And you got to live by this structure where you're just afraid of everything. I was born and raised under that, under religion that was afraid to do anything. You know, oh, you did this. Everything was, you know, animate objects were sin, you know, and that stuff. I mean, when I grew up as kids, you know, the church I was in, if you went to a roller rink and went roller skating was sin. Putting wheels on your feet was a sin. Now, somebody might sin with wheels on their feet, but it don't make roller skating a sin. But see, their idea, somebody did something bad doing that, so now you're not allowed to do that. See, somebody carried something to extreme. You know, they were the idea, well, you don't have a television because televisions were bad. Well, I'll tell you, there is a lot of rot on TV. But if you can't live under moderation yourself, that's your problem. It's not the TV's problem. It's your problem. You got trouble. You know, because I learned all about the Christian television. I saw there was as much junk and stuff that lead you astray as the world was doing because of their fleshly ideas and their fleshly stuff. And I found out I had to learn. I had to take control of it. I had to do that. And understand, God's not going to take control of you. God will never take control of you. You know, people always say, well, God, take control. Well, if you don't can take control of you, He can't control very much. It's taking control. If God just took control of everything, then why don't we just pray He'd just take control of America and stop everything? Well, go ahead and pray it and see how well it works. People have to respond to things. And so I found out Ed had to respond to things. Ed had to get under control. It's literally, you know, it's good things. Do you ever think about the fact, though? You can be watching too much Christian television, hurting you, just from the fact you don't seek God yourself. I'll tell you, you do that, and I'll tell you, it'll cause you problems. It will, because you won't know God. You'll just keep following after what people say. After a while, you're just after that. And really, it becomes a laziness, rather than seeking God yourself. Now, most people wouldn't think I'd be a problem. Well, it can be. I had to learn to do that, because I love to read books. I love to hear good preaching and teaching. I love to do it, but I learned to set it back. You know, I learned to do that. I learned how to seek God myself. I need to hear from heaven. Thank God for somebody else that heard from heaven. That's good. But I had to learn to hear from myself. I had to learn to hear things. I need to know what God was saying to Ed, not what God was saying to somebody else might be beneficial to me, but I needed to hear specifically concerning me of what God wanted me to do. So I had to learn to do that. And that's where coming down is learning to be led by the inside rather than the outside. You know, the Apostle Paul, and I've over the years always have looked at this scripture in Philippians, there's two scriptures actually, in Philippians, the first chapter, and Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. In verse 23, Paul was talking about to the church at Philippi. This was a church that the Apostle Paul had founded. And he said, in verse 23, he said, "For I'm in a hard press between two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." I've often thought about Paul's walk. You know, understand this. Paul said, I am hard pressed, he said, between the two. In other words, Paul says, I'm in this dilemma. And he said, it's hard pressed. He said, I'm in a hard pressed spot. He didn't say, you know, this is just something I've been considering. He said, I want to go. He said, I want to go be with Jesus. Now, let me just say this to you, and you need to understand this. Paul was a man led by the Spirit of God. You can learn a lot about, you know, reading and studying Paul's writings to learn about being led by the Spirit. Paul did not have this hard-pressed time because he knew a lot of Scripture. Paul was led by the Spirit. In the Spirit is where you come in contact with Jesus. You can learn about Jesus from the Word. But Paul's being hooked up in his spirit, Paul being hooked up on the inside, Paul said, I'm in a hard place. I want to leave. In other words, Paul was in a place that he understood this. Paul could have left. Do you know when you could leave? You better. Most 99% of Christians have no clue when they die, if they're supposed to be going or supposed to be staying or what they're supposed to do. They'll just let the body figure out what's going to happen. They'll let the body figure out what's going to happen. Paul said, I'm hard pressed in the spot. Whether to go. Paul's talking about a decision that he's going to make to leave. A decision he's going to be making to leave. You need to understand this. The body without the Spirit is dead. The New Testament says it. In other words, when your spirit leaves your body, that's when it dies. It doesn't die when the doctor says there's no more brain function. We know that that's not true. They have had many people who have not had brain function who have come back and been all right. In fact, they had not long ago. I was just reading an article about a guy who didn't have any brain function for I forget how long. Turned around, snapped out of it. Well, the doctor said, well, he's gone. He's not around no more. Well, I'm sorry, he was there. You know, brain function is not what God determines. And so we need to understand that. The body without the spirit. One of the things that's happened, and I learned from Kenneth Hagin on the study of this subject, and he talked about it, I thought it was a good way that he put it. He said, for most people, what happens? The body becomes in such bad shape, the spirit can't stay in it anymore. In other words, it deteriorates so bad that the spirit has to leave. It isn't a matter of lots of times of people of faith or anything like that. It's just the body gets so bad off, the spirit can't stay in it anymore. It's sort of like here in the natural. You have a house, it gets so bad, they come and condemn it. That's basically what happens spiritually. They come and condemn it. The spirit can't stay in it anymore. It can't function in it. Your body is the house that you're living in. The house, your body is no more than a house that you live in. Paul said he was in this hard pressed whether to go or whether to stay. Now I want you to think about that. He said, I'm going to leave. Well, we know we can't be talking about the body. When you die, your body don't leave. So your body ain't you. Your body is a house. That's all it is. If you want to walk in victory and deal with things, quit trying to deal with the flesh through the flesh all the time. You know, you might have to bring the flesh under control of things and making it not do certain things, but you need to learn to do it from the spiritual side, using the power of the inner man instead of always the do's and don'ts. Let's hang the law on the wall and try to bring the body under. If that would have worked, Israel wouldn't have needed another covenant. It would have all worked out. They'd have been a great bunch and everything would have worked out fine, but it didn't. And Paul talked about that. If you go over and read Colossians, where Paul told them, why do you guys do this? Don't touch, don't taste. Why do you follow as if it's some kind of spiritual thing? Why do you do that? He asked the question, why? I asked the Church of America today, why? Because most of the Church of America, I mean, you can turn on your TV and the preacher's a preaching diet. The problem with the Church in America is spirituality ain't got a thing to do with food. Food has nothing to do with it. The sickness problem in America don't have to do with food, it's the spirituality of the nation. Gee, the devil dominates and rules. That's the problem. All the doctors in the world don't have a medicine to cure the devil. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to cure the devil problem. And we've got to get a hold of that. But we turn around and do nothing but yield to the flesh. Yield to the flesh, whatever the flesh wants, whatever the flesh, to try to control the flesh. You know? I've watched with people. You know, it's just like people, they go there, and you know, people doing all kinds of things and trying to control, you know, their body and things like that, where people have these, you know, operations now, you know, they clip off most of the stomach and you have a very small stomach. I want you to know something, folks, that if you don't get your flesh under control, you'll overeat with that. I just made mention of a person in our family and that stuff who had that done and they're gaining weight again. Why? Because they got over. They have to stay on this strict diet. It was the diet to begin with. They had to stay on this strict thing. In other words, they need to bring their flesh under control. I know a woman, personally, and I told her when she had the thing of that, I told her it wasn't going to work for her. I said, it's not going to work for you because your flesh is out of control and you don't deal with your flesh. And what you're trying to do is have some kind of procedure done that's going to let you... You don't have to deal with your flesh now. It's just going to make it work nice. Well, you know what? After about 5 or 6 years, she's dead. I told her, I said, it ain't going to work for you. It's not. It's not going to work. You can go ahead and play your little games and do your stuff, but you have to deal with things. You know, see, and that's what we need to understand. If Ed doesn't bring his flesh under control through the inner man, if I don't do that, I can do all kind of things on the outside. You know, they can handcuff me and do whatever, but they're going to have to do things to try to keep me from doing stuff. That doesn't bring the flesh under control. That's bondage. That's bondage. You know? I mean, it's bondage. Whether people like it or not, it's bondage. Well, you know, we can only eat salad. You know, I can only eat vegetables. That's bondage. That's bondage. I can only do this. I can only do that. I can only do... That's bondage. You see, people need to arrive to that point. You know, I like to eat vegetables. In fact, you know, I ate a bunch of them yesterday. And I like them. I mean, I enjoy them. But I'm not in bondage with them. Well, the only thing Ed can eat is vegetables. That's, you know, he has to do that, you know. You're just going to... Yeah, I've been... Christians tell me, will you just be better if you did that? And I told them, be better. I say, live in the flesh just like you. Worship the vegetables. The vegetables are what's going to make, that's going to change my life. We all eat vegetables. You know, we wouldn't have all this trouble in the world. You know that? That's right. We would. The world would be a wonderful place to live. The vegetarians, they never sin. They're just all glorious people. You got to get thinking right, people. You got to get thinking right. Paul was in this place where he realized the difference between his flesh. He's made a decision. He's made a spiritual decision. And he doesn't say, God said. You know, you can make decisions spiritually on what you want to do. Paul said he had the desire, in other words, his desire was to go be with Christ. He said he was going to stay with these people, though, for their benefit. He said, but it's a hard thing for me. I'd like to leave here. This is one thing that you need to understand. If you learn to be led by the Spirit, you will have a lot less problems dealing with the natural. The reason people have so much trouble dealing with the natural is because they are not in contact with their inner man. Paul's desire was to go to the other side. It wasn't to keep on living over here in the body. Most of the church world is all geared today, in America especially, because of the culture has gotten into the church, and people, Christians, are more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. They're more body conscious, all the things of the body, all the having the right stuff, doing the right things. You got to have the right house, the right car, the right clothes, the right this, the right that. You got to be in style, you know, with everybody else. And oh, you know, they dress ridiculous. they should, you know, and everybody's doing all this stuff and doing all these things. And it has to do with our culture. Our culture, you know, whatever's in this style now, 6 months, it'll be gone. And then they'll tell you they're going to come out with a new style. I just saw, you know, it just made me hilariously laugh. You know, they come out, they said, you know, these new, the new sunglasses. You know, they got new sunglasses. And what they do, they show a woman wearing aviator sunglasses. I'm sorry, in the Second World War, they wore those. Give me a break. There's nothing new about them. They've been around all that time, and people have been wearing, but they're new, whatever style. I know one year you're absolutely ridiculous if you wear a pair of aviator sunglasses. But now you're going to be cool next year because now that's going to be the sunglass to wear. You know, I want you to understand this. If you are tied to that kind of thing, that you have to have the styles of other people for acceptance, you're going to have problems because your flesh is dominating you. People always say this, I want to be me. No, they don't. They want to be like the people around them. They want to be accepted through how they do things and what they do. You know, thank God. That's one thing is I really appreciate. I don't know if it's about age or maybe wisdom. I don't know what it is. But I could care less more than I used to. I come to the point where I don't care much what people think about it. I want to do, if I have a pair of comfortable shoes and I want to wear them, I'm wearing them. I don't care how people say, they're out of style. Well, good, but they're good on my feet. You wear yours, are in style, they cost 10 times more, and they're terrible to wear. But you're in style, you know? But you need to understand this. This affects people being led by the Spirit. You can't, those things can't dominate you and rule you. That's the outer man. That's the outer man. There isn't nothing about the new things come along that are good to use and to have. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, be smart. But when things become today, most of what we have in our nation is style. It's preaching. The churches do the same thing. The church is all. Everybody's renovating today to make the new church this thing that has to fit our culture. And you know what? They'll be renovating in 2 or 3 years because the culture is going to change some more. It's going to get more ungodly, and the church will figure out how to make it more acceptable to more ungodly. They'll be worried about it. Well, we don't want to have traditional church. I didn't know there was any kind of other tradition in the body of Christ than what the Word said. I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me. I read the book how many times? I never found it. What it is, they love the traditions of the world. And so the world comes and dominates. That doesn't mean every church building got to be the same or what else. But we need to be careful about what we get hooked into because it affects us spiritually. We become more drawn to what the world system is trying to do and say than we know what God wants. We don't know many times. Most of the church world has no clue what God wants. They think God will do anything to reach a person. God will not do anything outside what the Word says to reach a person. He will not do anything outside the Word. He will follow the Word. Men and women must come to God by the Word to be saved. There is no other way. The Holy Spirit will do nothing other than what Jesus does. Nothing. We need to understand that. Because the culture of the church has changed. And it's the culture of men on what men believe God will do. And it's been fashioned after what the world system does. They look at what the world system. One of the largest youth ministries in America, I heard the minister say himself, he's born again, I know he's been Spirit-filled, but he said this, he looks at what the world is doing out there to reach kids, and then he said, I take that, and then I fashion it and make it into a Christian thing. That's what I do. That's what he says he does to reach. That's what he's doing to reach kids. In other words, the world, he don't seek God and find God. What he does, he looks at the world and says, oh, the world's using this, I'm going to use that. That's what most of the churches are doing today. That's why a lot of the churches you go and it's more visual than it is spiritual. We're leading people away from spirituality and leading them over to visuality. Seeing is believing. That's why so much problems in areas of the faith area, because people can only believe what they see. The youth of our nation are tied totally to what they see and hear. Their God is all their you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything. That's what they look for their answers. They're looking to those things and those things to answers. I'm going to tell you, there's a billion voices there. There's a billion voices. If you don't know God, you will be misled there. You need to know God before you go there. You don't go there to find God. Because there's so many voices saying so many things that'll lead you away. You need to learn to know God so you can judge things. How could you judge things if you don't know God? How would you know what somebody's saying is true if you don't know what God said? You couldn't know. And the only way that you can develop in that area is learning to be led by the Spirit of God, and that's going to the Word of God. Paul, in writing to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he said this to the church at Corinth. This was his second letter to them. His first letter was really a bit of a rebuke. He encouraged them, but he did rebuke them on things because of what they were doing. But we find out that Paul's writing, if you want to see things and understand about what it is as being a baby Christian, is one thing, as I know, as I read Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. They're written to a church that was carnal. They're a carnal church. And the things that he had to say to them. In other words, really, I could probably take the letters that are written to the church at Corinth would today be the majority of the church needs to read those letters. The church world needs to read them because most of the church world, even what they call spiritual, need to read them because the direction they're going, they're in the same problem. The carnality in the church has led to immorality, all kind of immorality in the church realm. You need to read those letters. If churches aren't following those things that are in this book, then they are definitely baby churches living by the flesh. And we have many. You know, we're not throwing any stones at any certain church because it's not just, we go, oh, look what the Lutherans did or look what the Methodists did. No, I'm going to tell you, look what the Spirit-filled people are doing. Oh my God. It's a reproach. But he said to them, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now listen to this. Says, "For we know." In other words, this we know this. Gee. This would be over the head. This is over the head. This is a carnal church, but it'd be over the head of most today. Most people don't know. Most people don't have a clue what's going on. What's happening here? He said, "We know that our earthly house." What did he call the body? A tent. See, you need to look at your body. I think it's really great, this fact, the way that Paul wrote it was a tent here. You need to start thinking about your body as being a tent. It ain't even a house. It's a tent. See, if you put the natural ahead of the spiritual, you're going to have problems. Paul understood that. Look at Paul's writing. Paul always put the Spirit first. As we go on and look at these things, Paul always put the Spirit first. And so Paul said, your house is a tent. This house you live in ain't no more than a tent. It's temporary. It's a temporary shelter for your spirit. Now, one day you and I are going to get an eternal body. But until that time, the one you're in is no more than a tent. Now, your tent can be a good tent to you if you learn to treat it only like a tent instead of putting it ahead of your spirit. You know, people don't realize that they do that. You know what? And just how people do these things. It's like, you guys know, I don't have anything against doctors whatsoever. I have no problem about doctors. But there's one thing that you do. It's what you set first. Most people will do this. They have a problem. They go find out what the doctor says. Now we're going to believe God. What they do is you put the natural first. First you put the natural. Find out what the body says is wrong. Find out what the flesh said is going on. Now let's go talk to God after we got our diagnosis from the flesh. Well, let me say to this, you get a diagnosis of the flesh. What if my problem, which we have in the body, people who were weak and sick and died prematurely because of sin, well, see, their problem wasn't getting healed. Their problem was getting out of sin. If you're not led by the Spirit, you don't know that. I know Christians that I could tell them how to get healed instantly if they'd get out of their sin. If they'd quit living their sinful life, if they'd quit over in things they shouldn't be doing, in disobedience in areas. And if they would stop it, they could get well. Doctors can't fix sin. They can't fix it. People today, it's always, well, you know, if you're you know, something happened and you're sick and it's not turning around right, well, it's probably not, just not in faith. No, it can be sin. There can be numbers of things that are wrong that cause problems. The church at Corinth, he told them. Over the treatment that they did in the communion service, their lack of reverence for God and one another, he said, many are weak and sick and died prematurely. He didn't say because, you know, you guys just have trouble with cancer, you know, and that stuff. It must be the water you drink, probably chemicals in the water, you know. He said, no, it's what you guys are doing. You're not living right. So we need to understand, if you're not led by the Spirit, you don't come in contact. You become Mr. and Mrs. Self-Diagnosis by the flesh. Oh, well, I know this guy over here, and he went on this special diet, and he got killed. He went on a shark cartilage thing, you know, and he taking shark cartilage. That was popular some years back. All these people were going to this shark cartilage thing, you know, for cancer. And a poor neighbor of ours went and tried that, went and tried the shark cartilage and died. You know, they said, oh, shark cartilage, I'll tell you, that'll fix anything. Shark cartilage. But they don't have, you know, I know a Christian woman and that stuff. You know, tried to talk to her about her dealing with the areas that she had cancer. And I knew this was going to keep going in the areas if she's going to die with it. She talked about being in faith. But she's running around trying to find this great cure. You know, God has a cure for her. And she, you know, went out to California and got oxygen treatments. I'm going to tell you what. The devil is scared to death of oxygen. Get the oxygen bottle out and he runs. He just... cancer and oxygen, you know. That doesn't mean like somebody probably maybe... I'll tell you what's wrong with many Americans. I'm going to tell you something natural that's wrong with most people. Most people are in such bad shape they don't even breathe well enough to keep their body working good. You don't take enough oxygen in to yourself, and you don't exhale enough out of you to keep your body running. Your body needs oxygen, the last time I heard. God put it in the atmosphere. You know what happens to people who don't do too much and sit around a lot? They shallow breathe all the time and cause a lot of health problems for themselves. They shallow breathe. They're never really, you know, it can be almost as bad as like smoking, you know. And it's, especially if you do that and smoke, you're in big trouble. I mean, just, yeah, you're in huge trouble. But you know, it's just sometimes natural things. But you need to understand this. That's why you need to be led by the Spirit. Because see, the doctor ain't going to tell you, you couch potato, you need to get off of it and go do something. He's going to tell you you're all right. You need, I ain't going to say that. Why? Because you won't come back again. You're going to go look for a doctor that's going to tell you what you want to hear. But see, there's things you need to know. You know, you need to be able to breathe. I found that's a very good thing. Does a lot for your life. Breathing. It does a lot. You know, it helps. You know, but people don't do it. They don't realize how many people don't do it. How many people never take a really ever have a good breath? They never inhale, expand their lungs completely, and exhale completely. They don't. And it affects you. You know, if your lungs staying mostly filled with what should have been blown out, it ain't going to do well. Many times that's why people say they're tired. You know, that's why like a lot of people say, you know, after they eat or something, that get up and go move around, walk around doing something. Why? Get your system, get oxygen back in, because a lot of your blood's gone to your stomach, and so you just want to go lay down and go down to sleep, and the less you breathe, the more you want to sleep. A little bit of a health lesson there, but threw that in. But see, you need to learn things. You need to be led by the Spirit. You know, God's a good doctor. He can tell you things about yourself, tell you things that you need. I've told you guys before about when I used to do a lot of running, and I used to run all the time. The Lord spoke to me one day while I was running. Just inside of me. It just came up inside of me. Take a vitamin with iron in it. And I was taking some vitamins, but I knew you meant I needed to take more iron. I didn't know what it was about. Never thought a thing about it, but I thought, I knew it was God spoke to me. So I thought, there's got to be a reason for this. So, but see, I don't go running around telling everybody, you need to take a vitamin with iron. I'm going to write a book now. God gave me an iron diet. God gave it an iron diet, and all of you need to get on it. That's right, if you want to please God. Well, no, so I went and started taking it. But then I found out later, because of giving blood, I'd give blood, you know, on a regular schedule. And so when I had my pulse taken, they took my pulse and my blood pressure. When you do a lot of running, your pulse, when you're not running and sitting down, my pulse would really drop low. It'd drop down to about 30. But that would be normal. I mean, because of running all the time, that would be pretty much a normal. When they tell you what your blood, your pulse should be and all that stuff, that whole, you know, the average standard, in fact, what used to be, remember they used to say 60? Now it's 80 because most people's blood, their heart needs to work a lot more to get blood through their system because they ain't doing nothing. And so now they moved it up. See, before when I was, you know, there was always this 60 thing. Well, those days are over. It ain't supposed to be 60. You got to have it more. But anyhow, so the guy took it and checked my, he said, do you run a lot? I said, well, yeah. And then he said to me, he said, do you take iron? And I said, yes, it's interesting. I said, I started taking extra iron. He said, oh, that's good. He said, you do a lot of running. He said, when your red blood cells go through your body, the red corpuscles go through your body, he said, when you do running, he said, they're actually going through faster than normal. He said, some of them get damaged, but he said, if you take extra iron, he said, it fixes them no problem, nothing at all. See, God knew that. God knew that. Ed didn't. But God knew that, so He just told me. He told me to do that. So God was looking concerning my health. He was looking at it, but you're going to have to be led by the Spirit. You're going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit. There's things that you need to know, you need to hear from heaven. Quit reading the latest book to find out. Doing all that nonsense to find out. Because you fill yourself with that. Understand this. You can't be led by the Spirit other than you know the Word of God. If you fill yourself reading all kind of health books and all kind of things and stuff like that, you know what you're going to do? It's what you're going to think on, and you're going to think God's telling you those things. You're going to be, whatever you fill yourself with the Word of God, the Holy Ghost can talk with you. If you fill yourself with other stuff, that's what you're going to hear. Your spirit will speak back to you what you put in it. If you put all kind of these books on health stuff and all, and you keep dumping that in you, that's what your spirit's going to talk back to you, because that's what you feed it. That's what it talks back to you. You can get your spirit to talk anything you want back to you. If by meditating on the Word of God and putting the Word of God in, I can get my inner man to talk to me in line with the Word of God. Well, if I put stuff in there other than that, what's it going to talk back to me? It's going to talk back to me what I feed it. And my mind's going to agree with it because I've been using my mind in them books. That doesn't mean you can't read things and learn things, but I don't care. It's just like with our educational system today. You move God out of it. There's no reference of anything. So people are going to walk in line of what they've studied and they believe. That's what they're going to walk in line with. They don't have the things of God to measure things out and divide things up. They don't have that. And so you can get areas where people know more about from the health side of the natural stuff than they know what God said about it. Anybody that knows more about the health side, and this is where doctors have a lot of problems. I've even met Christian doctors have problems because they are so full of what they've learned naturally and know so little about the Word. They always measure on the side of the natural. That's always measured on that side. Whatever you feed yourself the most is what your heart's going to talk back to you. It's going to speak back to you. That's why you want to, you know, spend time with God. Spend time meditating on the Word. Spend time looking into those things. There's no other, I don't know, if there's another way to do it, I don't know. I ain't found it. And I've read after people who have learned to be led by the Spirit, and they don't seem to know more about it than that, then you're just going to have to get into the Word of God. You're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to pray. You know, get to know God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, he said this. In verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, he said the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. Now whether you lack it or not, the outward man is perishing. We can do the Botox, we can do all this stuff about, hey, there's, no, I don't care. People want to look good, want to look, that's fine. But then again, you have to watch, what am I doing? You know, making myself look great on the outside don't make me any good on the inside. Now, you can be real good on the inside and make it look nice on the outside. I was one thing. If you make it good on the inside, it will affect the outside. Most people need a lot of outside work is because the inside work is pretty shabby. The inside work is shabby. That's why we need so much outside work. Because we need to understand, Paul said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead says quickens our mortal body. But you're going to have to hook up with that life. It just don't happen because you're saved if you haven't noticed. Even though it's quickening my mortal body, people are dying every day, born again or dying prematurely, dying before time. Why? Because they're not hooking up with it. There's only, you know, there's one thing that pleases God, and it's faith. That's it. And you're going to have to hook up in faith with God. In other words, you're going to have to know what the Word says, and you're going to be able to have to walk and live in that. You're going to have to, you got to get that on the inside of you. That's what you do. Because the outer man, he said, the outer man is what he is perishing. I don't care how well I walk. One day, the tents going to get big holes in it. It's going to rain through on it. And then, but you know what? It ain't going to wait. It's not going to wait till my tent says, I can't take it anymore. It will leave before that happens. It will make a decision. Goodbye. There's one thing about it. If you can't get the thing healed, you don't have the faith to get it healed, why lay and suffer and go through rotten things? Why not have enough good sense to leave? Why put yourself through misery? I don't understand that people do that. I can't. One of the reasons I know why is because the other side, the spiritual side, is not real. It may real to a point, but it's not totally real. I'm going to tell you what. I long more to leave than I do stay here. If God said to me it'd be okay to leave tomorrow, I love you, honey, but I tell you what, I'd go. It's real. I'm hard pressed between two. Jesus is coming back, but it ain't soon enough for Ed. I'd like to go, because why? It's real. I have a hard time understanding people that have such a grip on this earth. I don't understand them. I don't understand that Christianity. The more I've learned to get over in the areas of the Spirit, the more my desire is, man, I'd like to depart and be with Jesus. If you look at Paul's writings about being ready for His coming, what's that all about? You know, we're living in these last days, and most of the church is more about thinking about being here than they are leaving. We talk about Jesus is coming back, but the actions are not in line. He said the inward man's being renewed. You know what renewed means? Restored. It's being, or to be refreshed. It means to, he says, vigor or even perfection. And synonyms are revive or to regenerate. The inward man. The inward man is being renewed. Or being refreshed every day. The inner man never becomes old. My inner man looks nothing like the outer man. The inner man, we have just read, Paul said before in the scripture we read, we have a building of God. It is eternal in the heavens. Understand what he said. Paul said, your spirit man is eternal in the heavens. Not going to be eternal in the heavens. It is eternal in the heavens. There are two eternities. There is the eternity in heaven, and there's the eternity which is going to end up to be in the lake of fire. Everybody is an eternal being. The church is different than the others because our eternity or our eternal being is a heavenly being. We are heavenly beings. Why would we be so tied to the earthly? Why are we so tied to the flesh? Why is the flesh, we let it dominate us so much when we are the heavenly beings? I can understand that the world, they're lost in sin. The only way they can live is through the flesh. They have no other way to live. That's all they got. The flesh will dominate them because their nature, their spiritual nature is sin. You and I aren't. Our spiritual nature is heavenly. It is tied to the heavenly. And see, you want to live according to that. You want to walk according to that heavenly side. Your inner man, the man on the inside, is unaging, refreshed every day. This is why people, oh man, I just need a refreshing. And what they need to do is come in contact with the inside and feed the inner man. Come in contact with the refreshing in us. Why? What they really mean is, I've been living in the flesh and I'm worn out. I've been following what's fleshly, and man, I tell you, it's weighing me down. The inner man doesn't have that problem. The inner man's being regenerated every day. He's being revived every day. He's as new as He was when I started. The day I accepted Jesus Christ, He has not aged one millisecond. He's eternal. If you look up that word eternal, it talks about eternity. It's timeless. My inner man and your inner man is timeless. There is no age. We aren't going to heaven to an old God with a big white beard sitting on some throne somewhere, you know, sitting an old man, you know, and he got a cane, he has a walking stick, and he gets up off of there, you know, and it's because he's really been around long, man. Thank God, you know, I was talking to one of them about my mom, because the 6th yesterday was her birthday, but I was talking to him and I said, you know, the things that my mom loved in the earth, you know, my mom loved flowers. That woman could grow flowers. I'm going to tell you, give her... there was no bad dirt to her. She could get a flower to grow almost anything. She could get flowers to grow beautiful things. I mean, as a kid growing up, she'd have areas that were... some of them were about overhead by two-thirds of this room. All it was flowers growing. And she'd have awesome... they had a church next door. The people used to come out of the church every Sunday in the summer and walk down just to look at her flowers and stand there and look over her. Her flowers were gorgeous. I said, I see my mom got to heaven and the flowers are perfect. Because I said, I always thought about what Kenneth Hagin, one of his visitations with Jesus. Jesus took him into this flower garden. And he remarked about... I've heard him personally remark about the flowers. He said, my, you know, he said... the perfection, he said, the colors, he said, it's nothing you'd ever see in this earth. He said, it was so... I said, man, my mom must be having herself a time. The flowers. She probably got a job, something to do up her flower. I could see my mom. She would... hey, that was something was in her heart, was in her spirit to do. You think you go to heaven, all of a sudden, she said, people, I get to heaven. Well, what do we want to do there? Well, I hope it's more than we do, most people do here. Nothing, but I hope it's... But there's things and desires that we don't lose. We're not going to lose. Heaven's not some kind of beautiful place because we're not really interested. All we're going to do is hang out at the throne, you know? I think people think, I'm going to 24 hours a day, we're just going to stand at the throne for eternity. So most, you know, most of Christianity is pretty dull. You ought to read the book sometime. You don't lose desire. Desires of your heart. There's things that are desire in your heart. There's things concerning this earth. The thing that I look at this earth and I think, look what sin has done. See, people say, look what man has done. No, listen what man, look what sin has done. We can work as hard as we want to try to correct things. But as long as men live in sin, it's going to stay in its direction. It's going to stay in its direction. But this outward man is perishing, but that inward man is not. Every day it's being renewed. Every day. This is why you've got to be conscious of the inside. Because of the life on the inside. The life in you. The life that is going on. The real you is alive and full of life. But if I look at the outward man, this is why most people have such weakness in things. Because they think weakness. They think frailty. They don't rely on the life of their own spirit. What good is the Holy Spirit in you when you will not rely on your own, the life in your own human spirit? Understand, your human spirit has been born of God. It has the nature of God. It is full of the life of God. On top of that, He dumped the Holy Ghost in us. You imagine? But the life in your own spirit, your own inner man, that's what keeps you going. That's, if your spirit leaves your body is going to drop. It's going to drop. Why? It's the life that in your spirit is what keeps it alive. See, this is why the Christians should be different than any other group. God had never intended for the Christians to put up with a lot of things that the world's putting up with the areas of sickness and disease and all that stuff. But most of the church world does not preach life, they preach death. You get born again, but basically after that, the message is death. We don't preach the life. One of the things we're supposed to have in the last days, we're supposed to see more and more of longevity of life, not among the sinners, among the saints. Among the saints, we're supposed to become more spiritual. If we will, it'll change things. And so we need to be renewed. We need to be changed in the way that you and I are thinking. Your inner man. Your inner man, the real you, every day is being renewed. You're not getting any older. It's your tent. It's your tent. It's your tent that's in a perishing mode, and that's because of sin. Get in line with that in your thinking. Don't let the outer man become the thing that dominates. Peter wrote and said this. I want to go to First Peter. Peter said, and he made this mention talking about a woman getting a man, but you need to understand this. This spiritual principle stands for all of us in all things. I want you to see that something that Peter said, Peter made mention. So in other words, we can do things in two different ways. First Peter, the third chapter, Peter said, and he's speaking to women. He's talking. He talked to men and he talked to women. And he said about women. Verse 3, he says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair. In other words, don't let it merely. In other words, there's nothing wrong with looking good. Ain't nothing wrong with looking good. Dress nice, look good, look pretty, you know. I like the girls to look prettier than the guys. It helps. We have a lot of pretty ones out here today. But, you know, we want to look. He said, don't make that the thing. In other words, the adornment merely outward. He said, the arranging of the hair. He says, wearing of gold or putting fine apparel. There's nothing wrong. He didn't say there was anything wrong with those things. You don't use just that to get a guy. This is what he's talking about. In other words, there's thing you want. Let me say this. Whatever you're after in life, and I'm not talking about just being after a guy, whatever you're after, quit looking at it all the time for the natural side and trying to use the natural to get what you want. Stop it. Stop it. That's why I have a hard time sometimes Christians in healing. They want healing, but I can't get them away from the natural side. It's all they look at. The natural side, the natural side, the natural side. They can't get away from it. He said, don't do that. See, just like a woman could use natural things to draw a man, she can use spiritual things to draw a man. And you want to use spiritual things. Why? Because if you use the natural, you can end up with a real crud ball, and don't blame somebody else when it don't work. You drew it. Hey, preaching's good. It's the way it is. What you use to draw may cause you problems. And that's why we don't want to do things just fleshly. There's nothing matter with, you know, looking good, being nice, doing that. He says, don't let it be that. He said, rather what? Let it be the hidden person of the heart. He said, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet what? Spirit. Use the incorruptible to draw someone. Or to draw, see, you need to learn that in your Christian walk, to use the incorruptible to get a hold of the things you want. You want health? You want money? You need things? You need to use the incorruptible to get a hold of. See, that's why I've always had a problem with a lot of the preaching concerning on the areas of finances, because they make money the issue. No, your spirit's the issue. If your spirit's right, you can get money dumped on you and you won't become corrupt, you won't become weird, you'll do what's right with it. You do it because of what's on the inside. You use the incorruptible on the inside to draw what you want. Use the incorruptible on the inside. If you get the Word of God in you, you'll have balance about things. You'll have that's what you want to have. You don't want to be dominated by nothing. Many people got what they asked for in prayer and it became their destruction. If you ever listen to people and you believe it's true, I want to tell you, you're in trouble. These people would say, God would never give you what He didn't want you to have. Well, you ask the children of Israel about that one. They wanted a king and they got it and it became their downfall. Don't tell me God only gives you what you want. You can get things. If you don't follow your heart and learn to develop your heart, you'll end up with things that will be huge problems. This is why. If you learn to listen on the inside, you learn to understand what you can control and what you can't. You'll understand where you are. Too many Christians think they're more spiritual than they are. I had to learn that. I had to learn where I was spiritually. That's why people have a hard time. You got to know where you were, whether you're mature in an area or not. And many people have no clue where they are spiritually. They think because they know some scriptures and they go to a spirit-filled church and they've heard some good messages that they're so more mature than everybody else. You don't know where your maturity is at unless you're in contact with the inner man. That's just to determine. I have to know. Like when people come to me and say, I don't know if I'm believing God or not. I know this. And that whatever they're talking about, they're a baby and they don't know. My God, faith is of the heart. If I didn't know I was in faith or not, then I have not come in contact with my own spirit. Faith is of the heart. I haven't come in contact. In other words, he said this, grabbing a hold of something with your spirit. He said, listen, which is very precious in the sight of God. Do you realize how precious it is when you operate in the spirit? How precious it is to God? When you and I hook up in the area of the spirit, when you and I walk in the spirit, how precious it is to God. When we do by following out of the inner man, then we'd rather following out of it's precious to God. Always understand it. It's precious to God. You want to follow the things of the spirit and not the things of the flesh. It'll help you understand this in the scripture when John, and go over to the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. Because we want, I want you to understand this about the operation of the Spirit. In John, the 7th chapter, the Gospel of John, familiar scriptures, verse 37 says concerning Jesus, he said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now listen, and he goes on to say, verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Now he's talking about here, the Holy Spirit. He talked about a person here. Out of the heart of man, or out of the spirit of man, flows the rivers. The rivers do not flow out of your body, nor do they flow out of your mind. They do not flow out of heaven down to the earth. The rivers of the church flow out of the church. The church is your spirit. It's not your body. It's out of your spirit. So he said this, talking about the Holy Spirit, he said here, he says, spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, he died and was raised from the dead. That began the church age. Now the Holy Spirit came down. Now think about this. So the Holy Spirit is where? Where is he at? Now people say, well, you know, he lives in me, I'm the temple of God. What most people think of being the temple of God is concerning the outer house. That's what most people think of. The house of God in you is your spirit. Our body is, in a sense, and Paul said so, is a temple of God. But in literal terms, the Holy Spirit indwells your spirit. If the Holy Ghost just lived in your body, then he could have came without Jesus having to be glorified. First, we had to get a new temple, and that's the inner man. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit communes with your spirit. He never communes with your mind nor your body. Spirit fellowships with spirit. The Holy Ghost is not a mentality. We think mentality from an earthly standpoint. You see, because people live and walk trying to understand the things of God by their mentality. You have to learn to accept things as true. Your spirit accepts things as true, but most people don't walk in them because they don't seem to be real to their own mind and thinking, so they won't do it. People get afraid not to go to a doctor because their mind talks them out of it. Their mind gets on the fleshly side and say, I have to go, you know, I'm believing God, but I got to get over there. You see, learning to be led by the Spirit, I'll just tell you a fact. If I had not learned to be led by the Spirit, I would definitely be dead today. I would be dead. Because of the wild and crazy things that people say I did, but they weren't wild and crazy. I knew in my spirit I was doing the right thing. You can't come back contact your spirit. You're going to follow what's on the natural side. That's what you're going to do. That's why you have to stay in contact. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. He'll quicken you. See, his job is what? Is to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to you. Well, are you a person into the Word and studying the Word, looking into the Word? Well, there's not much for him to show you if you're not. That's what he does. He reveals things to your spirit. There's loads of things from the Bible that the Bible says, I could not explain to you why it would be true or how it happened. Did you ever think about it? How did Jesus actually take our sin? How did that happen? How was he able to do that? I've never had a logical explanation on that. But you know what? I accept that it's true because the Bible, I don't know how was he able to take all of our sin and go pay the punishment? How did mine get put on him? I wasn't even around. How did the sin of man get put on him? How did God do that? Well, this we know. God can do things we don't understand. But you know what? My spirit is totally satisfied with that subject. My spirit never questions it and wondering how that worked. You can get over in your mind and your mind begins to think about it. See, this is most people. Most people are trying to use their mind as a place of revelation. That's not the place of revelation. That's the place that most of your confusion is your mind. That's that dark place that you got up there in your head where you've got to let things wander around up there and talk you out of believing God. But if you listen to the inner man, this is why you want to contact with the inner man. The inner man is at peace with God. The Holy Spirit is in there. The Comforter is in there with the inner man. You want to come in contact with God? You don't come in contact with Him because you pray and ask questions out there to space someplace. You come in contact with God when you come in contact with your spirit. God's in your spirit. God's inside of you. You come in contact with... That's where He's always communicated with me from. I have not gotten answers out there from Mars. None of them have ever come down. They send satellites out there and I don't pick any of them. I have to put aluminum foil over my head to keep them from talking to me. I have to do that stuff. God's on the inside. That's where He talks to me from. That's where He reveals things to me from. It's on the inside. What? It's where God lives. God, the Holy Spirit's inside of me. Is inside of me. So if I want to commune and I want... That's where I hook up at. My mind can think of a lot of things. I could sit down and tell you things the Word I won't say to you because you'll get over thinking about it. You don't need to think of... There's many things in Scriptures if you actually need to think of... When you think of the areas of eternal, of us being born again, do you ever think about what happened to your spirit? The old dead spirit, you were made... You got a new spirit. You didn't get an old spirit fixed. The Bible teaches we got a new spirit. Oh, what happened to the old guy? Where'd that go? Where did the old me disappear to and this new me showed up? See, most of the church world preaches it out of reasoning. They show you the old dirty heart and Jesus came and washed you up and you just got the same old heart. It just got a bath. No, it didn't. Scripture never teaches that. That's the teaching of men. Any man being Christ, he's a new creation. You're a new creation. What happened to the old guy? I don't know, but you know what? I ain't going to waste my time worrying about that. When I get to heaven, it'll be explained. Why on my earthly time would I worry about that, which here it would do nothing for me? You know, it's like the people who sit around, where'd Cain get his wife? Oh, get a life, people. You know, go sit in a bar and drink a while and get that brain dulled out so you can't hear it anymore. You know, dear God. But we got to get over where we're looking at the things of God. We look at the eternal. Your inner man is so acceptable of the Word of God. When you feed it the Word of God, it delights. It delights to hear what God's saying. It delights in it. It loves it. Let it hear it. Let it hear. Allow it to. Learn to accept things in your inner man. Many times I've had questions in my mind, but when I look to the inside, my inner man saying, I'm happy with it. Let it alone. I'm happy. I know what the answer is. I'm in confidence. Respond to that. Everybody's always responding to questions. You're always going to have questions. Somebody's going to throw a question. The devil's going to throw questions at you. He's going to send people to throw questions at you. He's going to do those things. If you don't learn to live out of the inner man, you'll be in doubt all the time. There'll be fears. When we talk about trusting, well, I'm doing my best to trust God. That ain't good enough. Your best ain't good enough. You got to be in faith, believing what the Word says. That's why you got to come into the inner man. The inner man is the only one that can believe God. That's the only part of you that can do that. Your mind can hear things. Your mind can go another way. But that inner man is where faith is. And faith is when you say what the inner man is saying. It's not you're saying what you're thinking because you memorized a scripture, because you did something. It's what the inner man says. Faith is of the heart. When I speak from my heart and say things, that's why Michael had things come to pass that he didn't even ask God for, is because when he said it from his heart. His heart is designed to bring it to pass. That's your spirit. If you can't bring things to pass, that's the problem. You're talking from your head instead of your heart. He said something that he wanted to happen from his heart, and it came to pass. You need to understand that. Speaking from your heart is where faith is. It's not just talk. My mind could say anything. I've already done it where my mind, you know, I'm saying what God said, but you know, on the inside, I'm not in faith with it. I'm not walking. I'm not listening. I'm not speaking. You know, you could believe something from the inner man, but never say it from the inner man. You keep saying it from the outside. Your flesh can talk, folks. Is learning to look on the inside and let the inner man begin to speak. Look on the inside. What's the inner man saying? What's he believing? It's what Jesus said to the disciples. You can speak to this mountain and doubt not in your heart. He didn't say you can just talk to the mountain. What you said must come from your heart. If there's doubt in your heart, it ain't going to happen. It's about your inner man, knowing the inner man, coming in contact with the real you. And you learn to do that. We'll talk about, you know, as we go on, in the areas of really building up your inner man, hooking up with the Word of God, developing yourself through the Word. So you learn to divide. The Bible talks about the Word is like a sword that can divide spirits, your spirit, your soul, and your body. It can divide them. You need to be able to divide because your mind has things it's saying and your spirit has things it's saying. If you don't know which is which, you're going to be flipping coins on what to do. You won't be living by faith, you'll be living by guess. You don't want to live by guess. You want to live by faith. So you can develop yourself. Hallelujah. And you, as you develop yourself, you will hear God. You know, you don't want to live on a hit and miss basis. You don't want to have healing. Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't, and you don't know why. That's what most people have. Most people have experienced things with God, but they don't know why it was experienced or why it don't experience. They don't know. God wants you to know. He put the Holy Spirit in you to teach you, to guide you into all the truth. He did that because He wants you to know. He is always, you know, don't ever let your voice ever talk the things that God doesn't talk to me and I just don't seem to get any answers. Don't ever say that stuff. Because you'll end up believing it and after a while you won't be able to hear God because your mouth said you can't and you won't hear it. I don't say it. I don't care if I ain't heard from God for 20 weeks and I've been wanting to hear something. I confess I hear God. He speaks to me. He gets the Holy Ghost, you know, reveals the truth to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk what's true. So you got to learn to do that. Outwardly, it might look like it's going the other way. You can't speak outwardly. My inner man believes that God talks to him. Well, he knows it. He's had enough of it. He knows God will talk to him. He knows God will speak to him. He doesn't want to talk any other way. There's many times I've grieved my own spirit by what I've said. Many people talk about other people who've grieved them and done things that hurt their feelings. I'm going to tell you, you've done more to hurt your spirit than anybody has. You have. I know. I've done things that hurt my spirit. I know saying things on the outside I should never be talking, never be saying, and I've said them. And my inner man's going like, "Why don't you shut up, you idiot? I don't like that. Don't you be doing that." You have to learn to do that. Your inner man will try to correct you. That's why you want to hear him. See, many people will say about, you know, I just feel so guilty about this and that. You know, well, the Holy Spirit condemned me of such and such. The Holy Spirit never did. Your own human spirit told you you were a dog for doing what you did. That was the real you telling you about what you did. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to. Your spirit's designed to try to bring you back into order. That's His design. Thank God. You always be glad you could hear those rebukes from your spirit. Always be glad, because if you don't, then you're in a situation the Bible calls, really, your spirit, you become carterized. You can't hear. You don't want to go to that place. There's Christians who have so rebelled, they can't hear God anymore. Their own spirit will not, they can't hear their voice, their own spirit. They have so lived in the flesh, they can't hear nothing no more. I don't want to go there. In other words, they could go out and go into sin, don't even bother. Their conscience don't bother them. Their conscience has been seared. I don't want to go there. I want a conscience, man. I want a conscience that keeps me in line with God. A conscience that says, "Ed, get right." Hallelujah. That's where the life of God works in us. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God.